I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, as we get Doug settled in here, I'm going to tell everyone that if you're the 10th caller, you win an amazing $25 gift certificate that can go a long way out there at the incredible place that is Sorgles off that Wexford exit, 412-922-1020. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Yes, St. Patrick's Day starts the official planting season. Grandma says you plant your peas on St. Patrick's Day, and Grandma's always right, even when she's wrong.
Listen, only because of your heritage, and I know you've traveled the world and been all over the place, I have to bring this up, because potatoes and growing is what you do. So I'm reading this book about Mr. Rooney, Different Way to Win, and there's a bunch of stuff about Ireland in there, and about the potato situation, the famine, you know, his history, his great-grandparents, his grandparents. You know, and a lot of people right now are struggling for food, trying to get it because of the resources and what's happening in the country right now. And what better time to start planting and growing your own food and having a bounty of it by reaping the harvest, right? But talk about that for just a moment, because you're a historian. And I never realized, Mr. Rooney, obviously the football situation is one thing. The family is a great thing. But that the connection to Ireland and all of the stuff, and I talked about it when I got on the air this morning, it's absolutely fascinating. But talk about that potato famine and really what it meant to Ireland and how many of these immigrants came here and I'm sure never could lose the fear of having to go through that again many, many, many years ago.
Yeah, well, gardening, it really goes back to everyone's heritage. Whether you're Irish or Italian or whatever it might be, there's something about it. I often talk about, say I'm German-Irish. It's not really Irish. It's from the Isle of Man. But, you know, people don't know what that is. But
you look Irish.
Italian by marriage. That's what I say. And it's funny that I'm from that German-Irish type thing, but I relate more to Italian. And I want to grow garlic, and
right,
I want to grow
right.
tomatoes. And, in those early years when they came here and everyone had to have their own garden so they wouldn't have to go through that potato famine, it changed everything as far as what people thought of growing. That reason that happened was that all the potatoes were genetically similar. And we actually had something in the U.S. in the 1970s with corn, the same thing.
No kidding.
Yeah, where we out in like these widespread long areas like Nebraska, it's all corn. It was all genetically similar, and I forget what they call it. There was a name for it. But, yeah, half the corn crop was wiped out, and they started putting new genetics in. You know, that was a good lesson to learn that, hey, we've got to grow different things, because if something does get a disease, it's going to wipe out everything if it's all the same. You want it to be different.
Well, let me just say another thing. I know how much we both respect farming, especially our local farmers. And I saw something about, you know, at least farmers are going to work every day. And goodness gracious, God forbid. I mean, especially the food chain and why it's all so important. And we talk about it all the time. We'll talk to Mr. Dentisi about it next hour. But boy, we're so blessed to have these farmers, are we not?
Oh, no doubt. You know, again, with everything that's happening, this is like a sci-fi movie. It's scary. I don't know.
You're right.
You don't really know what to do. You know, when you talk social distancing, gardening is like, yeah, okay, I'm going to be alone in my garden. That's going to be great. But with the farming, you know, that's social distancing. You know, I don't know.
Listen, you work for the Tribune Review, and one of the things that I said during the break, and I'm a big fan of the newspaper industry, and I was saying maybe this will give people the drive to go back to getting that paper that maybe don't get it and want to have it online. You need to be able to hold that paper in your hand. You know, we can only do so much in a newscast. We can only do so much in a social media video. But these great journalists in this region, Post-Gazette, Tribune Review, many others, they give you the whole story. And every day the story is evolving and you get the latest and you have a chance to go back and reference it. And by working with KDK Radio and that newspaper, you really have a comforting feeling to know what's happening in the world around you. Because right now, I think all of us, no matter what we think, and we all want to get away from it, we want to be sponges to where we want to be able to get as much information so we're prepared and also to be able to listen to the people who are trying to guide us in the right direction.
Let's talk gardening.
I know. But it's something I had to get off my chest because of your connection to journalism and your heritage. And I just think it's all important for all of us to really step back, take a deep breath, and learn good from what's happening from this very difficult story. Now, gardening. So St. Patrick's Day really is the launching pad.
Yeah, yeah. So got to start your peas. It's like a tradition. Start your peas on St. Patrick's Day. Now, the soil is going to be too wet to work. We can mm-hmm. tell that already. So all I'm doing is I'll take my pea seeds, I'll soak them overnight in water.
Why do you do that?
Because that makes them sprout quicker.
Okay.
So they're like a little itty bitty dried seed, and then when the water hits them, they get three times as big. They soak up all that water, so they're almost ready to sprout when you put them in the soil.
Makes sense.
Instead of digging, I'm just going to put a bag of compost down, and then I'll put the seeds in that, and sometimes I'll put like some clear plastic on top just to warm it up a little bit, and then we'll get our peas to sprout. When you start that early and you get them to sprout, there's no stopping them. Mother Nature has nothing left in her that can be cold enough to stop peas. They love cold weather. That's what we're doing on St. Patrick's Day, planting things that love cold weather, that don't care about the frost. You can grow outside that frost-to-frost window by choosing plants that love cold weather. And as I said, the tradition of St. Patrick's Day, some people think you're crazy by starting that early, but I've been doing it forever, and it's just a fun tradition. Some years, you are able to get them in the soil. You know, it dries out, but this isn't going to be one of those years. So I'm going to be starting peas and lettuce and spinach and all these kale.
These are the hardiest.
They're just love cold weather, and because the winter was so
mild.
Yeah. I've got spinach already in the garden that overwintered. I've got kale out there that overwintered. I've got pansies that are actually blooming from last fall. Arugula, spinach. What else out there?
What is arugula?
It's like a leafy green that's like, it's peppery.
Okay.
You know, Jessica never liked arugula. I always try to make, you know, I'm an arugula fan. I always used to try and make
like
her.
It.
And I'd talk about it. She'd nibble it, the new one. She'd say, I still hate it. I think she liked it cooked, but didn't like it raw.
You know, she's somewhere right now going, I liked arugula.
No, she didn't like arugula.
Now, see, I'll tell you, I like the leafy stuff, though. I like the kale. I like the lettuce. I like the, you know, I'll tell you, I saw somebody the other day eating a plate of just celery sticks. And I thought, boy, what a nice little snack and a healthy snack.
I saw a guy served wings the other day, and he wanted extra celery, and he got an entire plate of celery. They said, and we were looking at him like, how are you going to finish all that celery? He goes, I like celery.
It goes pretty quick. Hey, and also, when you're out buying seeds, you know, I've been all over in recent weeks, and they're at Janoski's, they're at Coons, these names that you talk about all the time. Talk to me about what to really look for and to buy if you want to get going and this is the first year that you're going to dig in the dirt.
Well, that's interesting because I'm often asked that. What should I grow? What should I grow? And I was recently talking to a group and I put up a slide of a radish, and the radish was named Ostergruss. So it has my last name in it. That's the only reason I'm growing it. I grow a plant called Matt's Wild Cherry,
right,
because my son's name is Matt. It's a tomato. So if you are just starting to garden, the first thing is the soil's too wet to work. If it's, we say this over and over again, if the soil sticks to the shovel, you can't dig it. You're going to destroy your soil structure. So again, we're just throwing something on top, but you radishes, carrots, beets. You know, when you buy your seeds, go to a good nursery and ask them. If you don't know what to plant, you know, we can't plant tomatoes now. They can't stand a frost, but we can put in greens and peas and stuff like that. So just ask them, like, what can I plant now? And then just I fall in love with different varieties, either sometimes by their name or just the picture on the packet. You know, you can't judge a book by its cover, but if you see a picture of a plant on a seed packet, you might fall in love with it.
All right, a lot of folks changing travel plans, but this is one you can kind of think about and plan because it's a few days away.
Yeah, we're not going to Croatia for another year.
But this is a great vacation.
A year from July. So this will all be over. We won't even remember it. Hopefully this will die down. And yes, I'm going to Croatia next summer, but it's on a boat for 36. I have to have it booked early. It has to be booked by this June. Again, it's a long way off, and if that worries you, there's travel insurance that gets you every penny back. But a 12-day trip to Croatia on a boat for 36, I've been waiting 5 years to offer this trip because you have to book it so early to get that boat, but it's going to be so much fun. You know, you only have to unpack once. We're going to get off the boat and stay 3 days in Croatia, but we're back on the boat. It's going to be fun. If you want to come with me to Croatia, you can see all the information at DougOster.com or just give me a call, 412-965-3278. That's 412-965-3278.
So what is Doug Oster's favorite tree? He will divulge that information when we come back after the break. Congratulations to Margaret, winner of that gift certificate from Sorgles. We've got the one from Janoski's coming up in less than a half hour. If you have a question for Doug, phones are already starting to ring. I highly urge you to call now so we can get you on early and get those questions answered. And let's talk about gardening, refreshing, think spring, think sunshine. Think about digging in the dirt. 866-391-1020. Yes, he is. Every Sunday, Rob Pratt Sunday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. 866-391-1020. Kay and McCandless up first for Doug Oster. Good morning, Kay.
I'd like to ask Doug something, but I wanted to tell him that I'm harvesting my bittercress.
Hooray!
I had a whole colander full, and I've made soup with it. I made a frittata with egg, and it's a great little plant. It's beautiful to see, and it's easy to clean, and I just chop it up, put it in my soup.
Wow. eat your weeds, everybody, but you have to know what they are. You have to know that it is bittercress or whatever, or dandelions. Well, that's
so
great. That's great news.
Or not. I actually planted some in my garden. So anyways, and also I'd like to ask you, excuse me, what is the thing that you put on your bulbs? What is that called?
Yeah.
Keep the chipmunks off.
All right, so here's when I'm planting bulbs, and I learned this trick from Brent Heath from Brent and Becky's Bulbs. He sprays his bulbs with a animal repellent. I'm using something called Bob-X. That is the deer repellent that I like to use because it sticks to the leaves really well, but I do the same thing. Like I'll put my bulbs before I plant them, and this is either spring, you know, there's lots of bulbs that can be planted in the spring that could be dug up too. You just put them in a little plastic container and just spray the stuff on there, kind of mix them around a little bit, and at least for me, and I've had a couple other people come to me and tell me that it's worked for them, that it's keeping the critters off them, at least for a season, you know, until that stuff kind of fades away, but underground, maybe it sticks for a couple years, I don't know.
Can you spray it on top of the ground too? Just keep them away.
Oh yeah. You can spray it on the plant itself as it comes up. There's a lot of different animal repellents that you could use to keep.
Oh, we'll try that one.
Well, good luck and enjoy your weeds.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about your favorite tree.
Yeah, I wrote about my favorite tree at everybodygardens.com because it's gone, and so I had a Scotch pine. That when the sun was going down, it would just illuminate this kind of orangish bark. It was just so beautiful. And then actually, I lost half of it during Snowmageddon, and I didn't have the heart to cut the rest of it down. I thought I might make like an art project out of it, you know, have somebody like seal it or paint it, and then, you know, open the garden once a year and use those, you know, funds for charity. But I never did that. And finally, it was so ironic the way it fell because it was kind of over the garden. I kept looking at it like, boy, if that falls, that's probably going to take out a section of fence. But I was actually coming home and about to go in the back door, and I heard a tree fall, which is normal in my living in an oak forest. And I was like, I wonder what that was. And I went out and looked, and there it was. My favorite tree had fallen, and it knocked over my big, giant statue of an angel and knocked its wing off. And so I wrote about my favorite tree, and then I did a video on what I'm doing to put that wing back on. This is a good time of the year if you've got cracked pots, if you've got cracked statues and stuff, to fix them up. That's very possible. I use this stuff called Goop, G-O-O-P, but there's a lot of different things out there that you could use to glue things back together. And a lot of times if a container is left outside and it gets cold, sometimes they'll crack. And don't just throw it away. Just glue it back together. Turn it the other way. You know, stick it under a plant so you can't see the cracks and that sort of thing. And it's just being the Mr. Cheapskate, when I go to a nursery, I'm looking for statues or pots that are cracked that have the pieces there that I could glue together and get a deal on them.
All right, let's get to John in Bethel Park. John, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, John.
I have a question about garden cleanup.
Okay.
I leave my garden in the fall, and I don't clean it up till spring to take care of the insects. But I've got a couple of spots where I'm going to change my garden. I want to put some early lettuce and stuff in. Would it be all right if I just pulled that stuff up and just laid it someplace where it won't get trampled or lean it against a fence or something?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're doing the right thing. You're leaving the stuff up for as long as possible. And if you need to get to a bed and you need to work, what I do is if I need to get something out of there, I just lay it on top of my compost pile. But if you don't have a compost pile, you could mm-hmm. you could put it somewhere, and that would be better than just getting rid of it. You know, hopefully yeah. that if there's good bugs in there, they can hatch out. But if you got to get to mm-hmm. a bed, you got to get to a bed. What are you thinking about yeah. planting?
I'm starting my spinach and my lettuce early. You know, so I'm going to get them in and get them going.
That sounds good. Are you going to start them from seed, yeah. like? Inside mm-hmm. or just direct sow them?
No, I'm going to direct sow them and put some row cover on them. You know, let them.
Oh, that's perfect. That's
help.
Perfect. Can I talk you yeah. into planting peas or not?
I'm not a big veggie gardener. I'm more perennials and annuals and color and that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, pansies. Pansies go in.
Oh, I just got some yesterday.
All right. Okay, you're getting started. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And when do you think it's safe to pull all of the garden stuff out for all the cleanup?
You know, once things warm up a little bit into April, things will start to hatch out and such, and then it'll be time to mm-hmm. cut everything down. You know, it's also dependent on what you want to do with the garden or what you want the garden to look like. Also, you know, we're keeping this stuff mm-hmm. up for as long as we can, but we also have to think about getting the garden going too. So
yeah,
each bed is treated a little bit differently. Keep it out there as long mm-hmm. as you can.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, but in about a minute we have left. You really want people to shop smart, don't you?
Boy, I'm telling you, it drives me nuts when I watch TV and I see some of the things that are being sold on there. Some of them are decent deals, but some of them are a real ripoff. And so, you know, I'm not telling you just to go to a good nursery because they sponsor the show. I'm telling you to go to a good nursery because you're going to get better plants. I have people shipping me plants all the time, and they want me to get the plant. They want me to grow the plant out, and half the time the plant doesn't come in good enough shape to plant. So you buy it at a good nursery, you're going to get a better deal. You're going to be able to see the plant and how big it is. A lot of times on TV, they'll show you this big, giant plant. And eventually, they get to the, here's what you'll be getting, you know. I just look at the prices and think about what it would cost you just to buy it locally. You can get the same type of plant locally. And I want to see the plant. I want to be sure that I can get the plant home, and it's going to be good for the garden.
All right, number to dial to be a part of Mr. Oster and his program, The Organic Gardener. Call right now at 866-391-1020. Tuna, fresh canned tuna, and more, all coming up for the Lenten season. The topic of conversation on the Coons Cooking Hour with Joe and Frank Dentisi, Heffron Tillotson, Germani, and you. Then we're going to kind of talk a little baseball. We'll talk a lot about the NFL and sports in general because it continues to make headlines, even if they're not playing your favorite sport, on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show at 11 a.m. And then Rose Unplugged coming up this afternoon. We'll be live and local throughout the day, KDKA Radio.
It's 32 degrees at Pittsburgh International at 7:30. I'm Boris Shiloff. A Jerusalem district court has announced it was postponing Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's criminal trial for 2 months because of restrictions arising from the outbreak of the coronavirus. Netanyahu was scheduled to appear in court on Tuesday to face charges of fraud, breach of trust, and accepting bribes in connection to a series of scandals. But following the emergency health measures the government enacted restricting the gathering of people in public places, the court announced that it was pushing back the hearing until May 24th. Netanyahu is accused of receiving expensive gifts from wealthy friends and offering to exchange favors with powerful media moguls. He denies those charges. The grocery store uproar is sweeping the nation, leaving everyone frustrated and confused. Simni Kim of KIRO in Seattle sets the scene in the Pacific Northwest.
Shoppers are picking grocery store shelves clean as concerns over coronavirus continue to grow. At Costco in Seattle's Soto neighborhood, dozens of people waited in line just to get in long after the store opened.
Once you get in there, everybody running everywhere, so you have to run around grab stuff.
We could barely walk too, like it's crowded, and yeah, people are like fighting. Like sometimes they like paper towels. We have to like weigh people, like keep grabbing.
On Saturday, Allegheny County announced its first 2 cases of coronavirus. In response, some additional measures have been made throughout the area. The Emergency Operations Center has been activated in Moon Township. Dedicated staffing will perform ongoing monitoring and assist communities with resource requests. Restrictions on social and professional visits at the Allegheny County Jail are being implemented beginning Monday, March 16th. There are some exceptions, including visits for end-of-life or other critical health concerns, as well as legal visits. That initial visitation suspension duration is 2 weeks. Visitors to Schumann Juvenile Detention Center could face potential health screenings upon visitation at the facility, though their policies remain otherwise unchanged. Community College of Allegheny County is adjusting its spring break. Beginning Monday, March 16th, and continuing through Saturday, March 21st, CCAC will be on spring break with all campuses and centers closed and no classes or clinicals in session. And President Judge Kim Berkeley Clark of the Court of Common Pleas announced that jurors summoned for service in the Allegheny County Court of Common Pleas for any day during the week of March 16th to March 20th will not be required to report for duty. No jury trials will be picked that week. Any juror, however, who has already been picked to serve on a specific case should still report. For more information on COVID-19, go to kdkaradio.com/coronavirus. There is something else Irish to celebrate, though, in the absence of a St. Patrick's Day parade here in Pittsburgh yesterday. The dance show Riverdance marked its 25th anniversary this year. CBS News' Deborah Rodriguez reports.
Ladies and gentlemen, Riverdance.
It stomped its way to international fame during the 1994 Eurovision Song Contest TV extravaganza. And the next day, the producers decided to turn the 6-minute Irish step dancing routine into a full-blown 2-hour show. At its peak, Riverdance had 3 separate companies touring Europe, the Americas, and Asia. Amy Mae Dolan, who stars in a current production, knows why.
It gave Irish people confidence. It was like we have something that's very unique and special and, dare I say, sexy to present to the world.
Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
It's 7:33. Your AccuWeather forecast is coming up next.
All right, we are keeping it green, and we're talking gardening. We got a lot of folks wanting to talk to Doug. We'll get to in a moment, from Bellevue to Bloomfield and more. But right now, if you're the 10th caller, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate to get out to that incredible place that is Janoski's. They'll be opening shortly at 9 a.m. Big St. Patrick's Day sale underway through Tuesday. Go out and say hello to the Janoski family. But you want to talk pit moss.
Yeah, I heard Andy talking about pit moss on there, and that's what I've been using for the last 3 years to grow all my seedlings and transplants. And I know a lot of local nurseries are using it. It's made of recycled newspaper, made locally, and it uses 2/3 less water. The pit moss plentiful is the one I use, has some organic fertilizer in it. I've just had great luck with it.
866-391-1020. Here is Jim in Bellevue. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Doug. My question is this a good time of year to have a maple tree pruned?
Well, I mean, you can prune them this time of the year, but they're going to bleed. That's part of it. You know, if you think of somebody trying to get, you know, maple syrup, they're going to tap a tree probably this time of the year. So, like I said, it can be done. If you're worried about it bleeding, I would wait until it's into active growth.
Wait until it starts growing, and then it's all right to do.
Yeah, when it starts to leaf out, it won't bleed.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
All right, up next for Doug, it's Bob in Bloomfield. Hey, Bob.
Hello. Doug, you had about, 6 or 7 years ago, you were giving away some tomato seeds. It was an odd-shaped tomato, but they were really good. And you send the seeds back to you at the end of the season.
Was it the Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top? Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still doing that. I have some seeds.
Okay, because I had 3 heart attacks in 2 years.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
And I lost complete. Well, that's okay. I'm doing good now. But
awesome.
I lost complete. Lost everything. I don't even know what my own address was for a while. But yeah, I'd like to get some more of them for this coming season.
Do you have internet access? Do you go on the computer?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
You can find the address. You just got to send me that self-addressed stamped envelope. I can give you the address if you'd like to right now, or you can find it online.
I'll find it online.
Okay, and just send me the self-addressed, and I'll send it right to you because we need to get those going pretty soon here by April 1st.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
So that's a good point with the starting of the seeds. You know, most people are, if you're growing seeds indoors and you're starting them, just about now, I wait. My main crop of tomatoes, I don't start until April 1st. I know that for some people that might seem late, but you think you're going to put them in about May 20th. That's you want the plant to be, shouldn't be oversized. It shouldn't be leggy and tall. You want a nice stocky plant, and so that's the way I've been doing it. But if you're going to start seeds indoors, if you've never done it before, the number one thing you need to do is have some type of lighting. If you get a good bright light on there, the rest of it's easy. I hear from people all the time, they're like, all right, I got the seed to sprout, but it kind of gets tall and leggy and just falls over. And so that's because it doesn't have the light. It's hard to get enough light by growing them on the windowsill. So now, back in the day, I used fluorescents, you know, long 4-foot shop lights. And I used to have, probably 8 or 10 of them down on a 4x8 table. And back in the day, that was a cheap way to use energy. But nowadays, with LEDs, they're so much cheaper to run. You could get at any nursery. There's all sorts of different sizes of LED lights that you could get. Once you have a good light source, you're good to go. Then all you need is a container with drainage, something called a planting mix. I'm using the Pit Moss Plentiful. You get it wet before you put it into the container, and that's important. You don't want to put dry mix in and then put seed and water. It'll all come out. You get it to a consistency where when you're adding the water and mixing it up, that when you squeeze it, it sticks together, but it doesn't drip. So we fill up that container that has drainage with the mix, sprinkle our seeds on, put a little bit more mix on top, press it down. Now cover the whole thing in clear plastic, put it under that bright light. As soon as they sprout, we take the plastic off, and now we're good to go. And one of the reasons that we grow from seed is that we can grow things that you can't find anywhere else. The nursery can only carry so many different varieties. They do a great job these days. You know, there's all sorts of crazy tomatoes and stuff that you wouldn't be able to get. But like my one friend, Gary Ipsen from Tomato Fest, he grows 640 different types of tomato and offers the seeds for people. If you want to grow really something off the wall or something that you really fall in love with, that's the way to do it, is to do it by seed.
All right. We have a couple of calls coming in. We'll get to them in a couple of moments. But we are going to take a short break. We'll come back on the other side. One more look at sports today. Boris Shylov with the latest on the coronavirus story and more coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe and Frank are here. Tuna, even fresh canned tuna, all the ways to enjoy the Lenten season. Heffron Tillits and Your Money and You. And the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. A story that's trending right now in the world of sports is that spring athletes may get a bit of a reprieve as far as eligibility. Those seniors and who are running out of eligibility because of all of these sports, the spring sports that have been canceled at the collegiate level. So that's another story trending. What do you say we talk to Peter in Crafton before we get the break in? Hey, Peter, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning.
Hey, Peter, what's going on?
It's not a question, but it's something, a little project I'm doing.
Oh, cool. Let's hear about it.
I had bought some green onions at the store, and they had some of those little roots on them.
Okay.
So I cut the greens off the green onion, left a little bit of the green on, and I put them in a glass of water. And I have six of them. And lo and behold, the green is growing.
Mm. This sounds good.
Yeah, and what I did was I cut them the other day and put them in my onion soup that I was making. And lo and behold, about 3 days later, they're growing again.
So
I have an endless supply.
Are you
going to
keep
green onion tops?
You're going to keep them inside? Or you're going to grow them outside during the spring?
Well, I keep them in my kitchen right now. I put them outside when it was like 55, 60 degrees. Then I bring them back into the house because I didn't want to keep them outside in the nighttime in the cold.
Are they still in water?
Yes, they still are.
At some point, if they're going to continue to grow, at some point they're going to have to get it. Those roots are going to have to get into soil.
Uh huh. I'm also starting a leek. I put a leek in the water, and I cut the greens off the leek, and lo and behold, 3 days later, it's growing like crazy.
Oh, that sounds great. Eventually, those plants should go out into the garden and keep them going.
All right. Hey, thank you for the call. Congratulations to Lori of Oakdale, winner of that gift certificate from the good folks at Janoski's. All right, 866-391-1020. Plenty of time to get on the air with Doug. He'll be here for another segment. Then we shift gears and going to be talking all sorts of good things on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDK Radio. Good morning, everybody.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's horticulturalist Denise Schreiber. And Denise, I'm going to guess the first thing you're going to talk about to me is bittercress.
No, actually, but I'll give her my address if she wants to come over and harvest
some.
So actually, a couple things I wanted to talk about. So I am half Italian. And
which half?
My grandparents came over, and they lived down in Greenfield on Saline Street, for anybody that knows the Down on the Run, as we refer to it. And he had a wood oven. And people in the neighborhood would come and bring him their bread to, you know, bake, because this was during the Depression, and, you know, they were all poor immigrants. And so they would pay my grandfather with vegetables and everything. My grandfather had a large family. And it was a way to help keep his family fed. But, you know, and I don't want to preach at people, but having a garden really kind of prepares you for things like this, because not only are you eating fresh fruits and vegetables, but also it gives you, you know, vegetables to, and fruits as well, to preserve and freeze, you know, so... You know, I might have a lot of green beans, and I have a lot of pickled beets, but at least I have them. And, you know, people aren't, you know, they've lost that art. And it's really important to remember these things. It's what helped people survive, you know, all the world wars and layoffs and that sort of thing.
You had me at pickled beets.
My pickled beets win ribbons.
Talk a little bit about bittercress. Yes, people like me, we eat it, but we also have to get rid of it.
Well, bittercress, if Google a picture of it so you know what it looks like. But it's a small little rosette that can actually get fairly big. It gets these teensy, teensy little white flowers that will throw out hundreds of seeds. So what you want to do is... Actually, I've been weeding this week and digging it up, because as soon as you see them with two or three leaves, trust me, in 2 days, it'll already be flowering. The stuff grows incredibly fast. And so you want to dig it out. Don't throw it in the compost pile. You'll regret it for the rest of your life. I take a grocery bag, and it goes directly in there. And you've got to be really vigilant. Now, come in the end of June, beginning of July, when we get the really hot weather, it tends to stop showing up. First cool day, it's right back again. I have even found it blooming under snow.
Jeez.
You know, and it's an annual weed. Almost, it doesn't seem like it if it's blooming in, you know, under the
right.
snow. But it's pernicious. It's worse than, I'd rather have poison ivy.
Really? Not really. Come on.
Yeah, really. I would rather have that because I can deal with poison ivy, and once you deal with it properly, it's gone. With bittercress, the seeds are blowing in. They're shooting out. If you miss one plant in a week, you'll have 15 plants. And then if you miss one of those, it just gets bigger and bigger.
Do you grow any early vegetables?
Actually, I sowed my lettuce seed the other day, so I've got it. I grow mine in containers out on my deck, so mine's actually in my little greenhouse for last night and today, mm-hmm. but I actually do grow them. I've started my parsley seed because parsley seed takes a long time to germinate, almost
right.
3 weeks. So, you know, I've got that going, and I'm doing my seeds this week, and I've been transplanting houseplants that have been screaming to get out of their pots.
Give you something to do, right?
I have plenty to do.
All right, Denise, thanks very much. I'm very much looking forward to the season. I'm sure you are, too.
Oh, yes, you too.
All right, we'll see you. Well, one of the problems that I'm having in my garden, and you might be having a problem, too, is this is the worst year I've ever had for deer. Man, they are just, they're eating things they've never eaten before. And so, again, I'm using that Bob-X, but anything that doesn't get sprayed or doesn't get sprayed enough, the deer are just destroying. And I've got a video at everybodygardens.com that shows how I'm using the Bob-X and what happens when I'm not using it. The thing about Bob-X and many other types of these repellents, they stick pretty good. That's what we want it to do. I can go three rains. Like after we had this rain and slight snow event here, that's about the third time for me. And so I'm going to get out there, spray the things that I want to try and save. Whenever we're talking about deer, the first thing is some kind of physical barrier. You know, I've got a mountain laurel, which is technically poisonous to the deer, but the young ones eat the buds. But I got that surrounded with deer netting, and then the next thing is some kind of repellent, and then after that, it's something like growing things they don't like. And so in that video at Everybody Gardens, I've got, you see that my favorite azalea, which has been eaten all the way up to where they can't feed anymore, and then right next to it is a plant called Japanese pieris in full bloom. But that's something they don't prefer. You can never say anything is deer-proof, but that Japanese pieris and daffodils are both deer-resistant. Whether it's raining, cold, sunny, or hot, enjoy every day in the garden.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Organic Gardener, every Sunday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., Doug Oster has left the building.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.